Well, let's open our Bibles, dear brothers and sisters, and getting back into 2 Thessalonians this evening. And we left off in the second chapter, and specifically in the 8th verse. And last week, we were introduced to the man of sin, the son of perdition, also known as the Antichrist. And that is going to be one that exalts himself above all that is called God, and shows himself as God. I believe that we're very ripe for that time. As we've been rejoicing and just thanking God for his word, he didn't leave us in the dark with this. Such a special time. His son's coming. And he gave us all the signs and the announcements, in a sense, that would be happening. But most importantly, what's happening in our lives. The reality that Jesus is coming. It's real, brothers and sisters. There's a growing of the love of God, truly like never before. I sense it, and it's His Spirit that gives us the discernment in that. But God is on the move, and He's on the move seeking out that worshiper that's going to worship Him and is worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And thanks be to God we have that message. I'm so grateful to God that He's called us to that, that we're awakened to that, that wife hath made herself ready. So praise be to God. There's so much in this Thessalonians that so calls out to that. And this Antichrist and all of this stuff that was going on, the Holy Spirit, as we read, encouraged Paul to write about some of these things and had brought all of this up. And the fact was that in Thessalonia, there was many a people that were being deceived that the coming of the Lord had already passed. And as we read, Brother Paul clearly tells them that before the Lord is going to come to catch his bride away, there's going to be a falling away first. Men are going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There's going to be forms of godliness everywhere. It's rampant right now. Everybody knows God. Didn't you know that? There's many a path. I didn't realize that we're in the time that all men are saved, huh? Oh, my goodness. But see, that's what the world is bringing on. The Antichrist is about ready to come upon the scene, and it is an exciting time. So let's get going right here in the 8th verse, and how exciting the Lord's going to just start with the wondrous foreshadowing of the joint reigning bride in this. So I pray that we're not distracted this evening, and we'll tend upon the things of the Lord. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So here we have this great wickedness. And this great wickedness refers specifically to the false prophet, but also to the Antichrist, all of that stuff that's going on there. And you can imagine and think, as the word is laid out here, and especially in Revelation, they think they're going to get away with this. They really do. They think that they're actually it. They're convinced, like we were talking about last week. It's not President of France or President of the United States anymore or anything like that. These men, and I'm sure there's a few women out there, so ladies, you're not exempt from this. They want to be President of the world. They want it all. They want all of the attention upon themselves. The pride is so great, it stinks. It's just abhorrent, and it's out there. And I look at these people that seem to praise these different ones, and I think, oh my goodness. As I mentioned, that man came up to me in the restaurant, and I was telling the brother again. He came to me, and he said, who are you voting for? And he said, well, I'm going to vote for so-and-so. I said, well, he's just a man. And he said, well, the other so-and-so, he's just a man. And I said, well, you're getting it. They're all just men. And none of them have an answer and know it. Only your wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has every answer. And praise God, He gave them to us. They're right here. We don't need to look anywhere else. We don't need to be concerned about tomorrow. I'm so grateful to God that I truly have learned. The world calls it living for the moment. I do live for the moment. The moment. The moment when Jesus is going to appear. And praise be to God, and we're going to be like Him. Isn't that wonderful to know that? That would be the hope of all the ages, all of eternity, looking for Jesus appearing. Praise be to God. But this is this Antichrist attitude that they're not going to worry. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to destroy them. And don't you worry. It's coming. Just like your payday someday, their payday someday too. And it will be. God will judge them. And it's very clear here that He's going to destroy them. And destroy them specifically with two things. And we read first of all, it's the Word or the Spirit of His mouth. And let's talk about that one first. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 19. That's Revelation chapter 19, and we'll start reading from the 11th verse. And the thought here is, He'll consume them with the Spirit of His mouth. All right? And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Oh, kind of excites me about my Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. And on his head were many crowns. Who do you think that might be? Praise the Lord. I know most of you know those are the bridal saints with him. And he had a ruling and reigning jointly. And he had a name written that no man knew. And this is speaking of the world not knowing this. But he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Oh my. So see, we don't have to worry about who it is. It's the Word. He's the Word. Praise the Lord. The Word was with God. Hallelujah. The Word was God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Look at them armies. Sounds like a lot of saints. Praise the Lord. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, here it is, goeth a sharp sword. The very word of God. That's how he's going to destroy it. That with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress. Here we go right into the Armageddon. Of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So isn't that wonderful? We see there that there is no doubt this is the Word of God, as we go back to the 8th verse, that he's going to consume them with the Spirit of his mouth, the Word. Now that could have been enough, but there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory right after this. And shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Now, brothers and sisters, that thrills my heart. I'm telling you, we got Christ Jesus, the Word, there. And then we also have the brightness of His glory, or the brightness of His coming. And we're going to go back to Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to read about the brightness of His coming and find out who this is. So in Revelation 21, we're going to go to the 9th verse. And we'll begin reading there. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious. Now, a couple weeks ago, we jumped down to the 23rd verse, too, and let's read that. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. What did we just read the glory was there? Huh? The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, brothers and sisters, she's the light of his life. She's it. She is that glory. He's all the power. Because he's the light thereof. No mistake in here. It all comes from him. But she receives all of his glory. She's not denying one single bit. And I turn you back to that 8th verse of 2 Thessalonians. And let's read it one more time. And when that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, there's the word, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. She's going to rule and reign jointly with him. She's going to bring it on with him jointly. That judgment, all of those things, they're one. They are one. And praise be to God that she is with him through all of this. This is how we know over and over throughout the Word of God, there are different companies. There are different companies that are in heaven at different times. And there is a company of believers that will reign jointly with Jesus Christ. And that is such a promise. I'll tell you, let your heart just chew on that one till Jesus come. I hope it just delights you. See, there's just all those benefits towards me. I'm finding them over and over and greater throughout the Word of God. It's all there. It's all throughout. But let's go on. Verse 9 through 12, we're going to specifically hit that Antichrist. Now, even him, this is where he's speaking of, being destroyed and consumed, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. That's the only reason that you perish. That's the only reason anyone will ever perish is one reason. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, you think about this. Christ's life, his coming, when he was upon this earth as man, his life was all to the glory of the Father. That's it. That's all he did. Thy will be done. And so opposite is this Antichrist who can't do anything but the will of the devil because he is inspired, he is possessed, all of that power of the enemy is coming through him. And notice here that the devil works really the same way today as he's going to work then. It's in lies and all of these different things. But you'll notice there is a very, and I will say this, it's a very scary word. All. All. See, right now he doesn't have all power and all the signs and all the lying wonder and all the deceivableness. And why do we know he doesn't have all yet? Because we read verse 7 last week, and verse 7 said that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Sin's already here. The enemy's already here. This working is already here. We know that there is a wickedness in this world. And the wickedness of man, as the Word of God says, is waxing worse and worse and worse and worse. It's not getting better. I don't care how many times you're going to chant in that mirror. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. Click your heels. It doesn't matter. It's the Word of God, and we need to understand this. I tell people these things, and they say, oh, you're so pessimistic. You're so down on man. No, I'm the most optimistic because I'm up with Christ. I know where to look because of His grace. I'm looking to Him, and you look to Him in His Word, and it's right there. Amen. Amen. But as we know in the seventh verse, it says, it will only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. See, that bride, by the grace of God, she is empowered with that wondrous glory. And he loves her so. I take this as one of the greatest moments of love that the Lord has. Sure, we're going to be tested. Sure, we're going to be tried. Sure, we're going to suffer for his name's sake. But God spares us. By His grace being in that bride, God spares you. And He does. And this is one of the ultimate of sparing of His love for His bride. He's not going to allow her to go through that time. He does not want her to go through that time. He doesn't want any of His people. He doesn't want anyone. I would that all men be saved and come to a full, a complete, exact knowledge of the truth. Do you know that that would be His will? Absolutely. He's not a respecter of person. It's not because we were born in Denver, Colorado, or we moved to Denver, Colorado, or that Brother Hill was my grandpa or my dad, or I knew him as a friend whom he foreknew. You're awful special. You're awful special. Boy, take it and run. I don't know how you got here. I don't know how I got here except for one thing. His love. That's it. He saw you. He saw your heart in ages past. He knew it. And the before ordained good works that ye should walk in. And here they are. They're laid out. We're without excuse. Completely. To whom much is given? You couldn't even begin to describe how much you have been given. You talk about love. It just pins your ears back, doesn't it? Pins your heart back. Praise the Lord. But that's what it is. And this devil is being held back at this time. But there is going to be a time when that bride is taken. And all at once, it's going to be all the powers. It's going to be all the signs. It's going to be all the lying wonders. It's going to be all deceivableness. It's going to be all unrighteousness. And it's going to begin. Could you even imagine what that time's going to be like? I mean, I think I've seen some pretty wicked things. I think that there's times I think, how could evil get any worse? And it's going to. It is going to. Because it's not going to be held back anymore. It's going to be a full court press. That's why I'm telling you, you don't want to miss the coming of the Lord. You do not want to miss that first trump. Most importantly, because you want to be with Him. I was thinking about glorified together, but by the grace of God, thank you, Jesus, I'm just thinking of together. Glorified is going to be a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. And He's working that right now. And I don't want to deny Him one thing He wants to do in my life. But you know what? It's just together, Lord. I'm finding out about that lady who loved that man so much, she would leave the palace to go live in a shack with him. But you know what? We're going to leave the dump to go live in a palace with Him. Isn't that just amazing? See, that is the exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's your Lord Jesus. How could we not be excited about this, brothers and sisters? How could we not be? God help us. But I want us to note this fully well. That it's God. It's still God that allows this. See, you're going to think it's just complete chaos or something like that. And people say, oh, this is completely out of control. It's absolutely not. It's absolutely in the perfect will of God. He knows this. He said this. This is His word. This is how it's going to work. And this devil can only do what God allows him to do because there be no power but of and from God. And in that, I have rest. And I have rest in that today, especially today. Because I know that Christ is for me. And if He be for me, who could be against me? Huh? Man, if He sends my brothers into a furnace, a fiery furnace, and them guys that are open it up get fried, and I mean that. Know it. They're dead meat. And yet these guys are walking around in there, and not only does it not touch them, and they come out and their clothes aren't even burned, but they don't even smell of smoke. He's got it. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. This isn't something that's just old-fashioned. It's not. Jesus is absolutely hip in style and vogue today. And He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love to His people is. To this old world, oh, they think they've passed Him by. They need Him. I don't want to see anybody go this way. But I'm going to tell you, God's not going to be mocked. He will not be mocked. It's coming. I've heard people, when I've said this though, so foolishly say, well then, why does God allow the devil to have all that power? I've heard Christians say that. Oh, if God was so good and such a loving God, how could He allow this to happen? Know the Word of God. Know His great love. Really do. Know it. See, God won't tempt us. But by the grace of God, we need to be tempted. And it just so happens, can you imagine, that He, all things were created by Him, for Him. Without Him, nothing was made. Huh? That old devil was made. And it was made for a specific purpose. He was made to tempt us. Absolutely. And what a tempter He is. Perfect. The one that can be used, that the love and the might and the faithfulness of God can be magnified in me. And in you. Have you really allowed that to soak down in your life? See, I don't need to fear that. I understand that I am helpless and powerless without the Lord. But I know in Christ, It's already done. Victory's there. It's already been done in Christ. Man, how could we get away from the name of Jesus? What a wonderful name. I like to say that name. I love to say that name. The power in that name. Praise God. And I'm telling you, in this weak creation, Christ in me can reign. He can. And it's wonderful. And can defeat that tempter at every turn. Praise God. And notice, as we go on here, this complete departure, as it says here. There's a complete departure from God. Unrighteousness, it says. And it works in them that perish. We rejoiced on Sunday that we have been given eternal life. Eternal life. And just so the opposite, in those that perish, they're going to have eternal death. It's going to be going on forever. They perish. But I think of that last part of verse 10 there, where it says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. I don't know. I just sense in that the longing and the love of the voice of God. I sense a sadness there. I really do. I'm not trying to be anything but honest. I believe that the Lord's heart hurts to see men and women turn away from God. Obviously, He does. We know that. And the reason they do is because they receive not the love of the truth. And so simply, the love of the truth is Jesus Christ. That's what it is. They rejected Him. It was their choice and theirs alone. And because of their wicked choosing, God in His wrath, what does He do? He causes them to have strong delusion. Let me tell you something. He foreknows that too, doesn't He? He knows everything. You want to go that way? Go that way. And I'll send you a strong delusion that you're going to believe a lie. Complete, utter blindness, sinfulness. That damnation you wanted, you can have it. And I don't know how much more clear God can be. Do you? There's a hell. There is a hell. And absolutely, there is an eternal lake of fire. And it's for these ones that do not accept the love of the truth. Ye must be born again. What does it say? That they might be saved. You need to be saved. Your family needs to be saved. Your friends need to be saved. Man needs to be saved. Or they're going to face this death that will never, ever end. So, I'll tell you one more time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And He says it again there. They believed not the truth. And just in closing on that thought there too, you think they were so wicked they didn't just reject it. They had pleasure in it. That's the strong delusion. And you know there's bits and pieces of that. It's out there. You see it in certain lives. But there's going to be hordes of people like this. The majority of people. That's how evil it's going to be. It's not going to be one or two. They're all going to get together. And it's going to be this kind of wickedness. God help us. You see why He's going to have to take it out. You're going to see why He's going to have to put a new heaven and a new earth. They're going to just absolutely ruin it. They're going to absolutely destroy it. The burning, the carnage, the famine, the killing, the stench. And yet here we are. I think about all the messages. How we're going to save the planet. And we're going to save the earth. I'm serious. I laugh at them sometimes, but I hurt tonight for them. You just don't realize, apart from God, what you're going to get. All right. I'm going to rejoice. Enough damnation here. We're going to glory. Let's go over to verse 13 and 14. Aren't you thankful you don't have to stay there? Woo! Okay. But we, isn't that wonderful? See how quickly the heart can change. And there it is. Okay, the Holy Spirit's going to bring this. But we are bound. Isn't that wonderful? Compacted together here. We're tightly, jointly fit. And here we are. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. Now, don't tell me you're not special. Don't tell me nobody loves you. Don't tell me nobody sees you. This is God. From the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's exciting. Hallelujah. Now the first note here again is giving thanks for one another. And I'm absolutely confident that's always. What do you think? Always? Amen? Amen. And especially to those who love the appearing of the Lord. Do you know how blessed you are to be around people that love the appearing of the Lord? I don't know if you have many friends that are out of town that truly love the appearing of the Lord and talk to them at any length of time, and how they yearn to be back in the presence of people that are loving the appearing of the Lord. We are blessed. Paul knew it. He was blessed. That's why he was bound to that. It's a holy matrimony bound. If you don't sense that in your life, you're not living that bridal life. You're not part of the wife who hath made herself ready. You're bound. You're bound in marriage. You're bound in this love. Absolutely. I'm not going to hold it back. By the grace of God, it's challenging me. It's challenging you. This is the greatest love story there's ever been. And you're right. It could never be you that could ever do this. It has to be the grace of God. Awaken me to this. Saying, I want this, Lord. I want this more than anything. I believe you. And I believe that I am your workmanship and you can work your will and pleasure in this life. Absolutely. And He can, because He's faithful. All right. So, may we never take it for granted. May we always understand when He says, beloved brethren, that's much loved. That's something God so loves of the Lord. And what a treasure we see here. And why are you a treasure? Why am I a treasure? Because we are chosen to salvation. Just read it for what it is. You're chosen of Him. You're saved. You were bought. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. There isn't anything more precious. He owns you. He has you. I love to give it up for that. Thank you, God, that you have me. I am not my own. I have died, but yet Christ liveth in me. What reality? God saw our hearts before the foundation of the world. As we know, He said, whom He did foreknow, He predestinated. And all by the grace of God. By grace, as it says here, we are saved through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Okay? You will read nothing of anything about my merit, my works, my goodness, my effort. It's all because His grace. His grace. So simply believing in God's free gift to man, His Son. That's it. Absolutely. Boy, thank you, Jesus. It's like every day I realize how much it's not of me. Every moment. And especially every moment of failure. That's the most beautiful thing. He can even use that to show me how weak I really am. How I couldn't keep a thing. God, you have to keep it all. I don't hold my salvation. My salvation holds me. Because He gave it to me. It's done. That love can never be separated. It's His. I'm His. But then, in verse 14, as we read there, there's a special word. I never thought it was really that special of a word. No offense. It's in the Word of God. They're all special. But whereunto is a very special word. Whereunto means therefore and far more exceeding. Therefore and far more exceeding. So let's go back Let's read through verse 13 again, because I think it's a wonderful run-up to verse 14. It's probably why Guy put that in front of the other one. Okay. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Therefore, and far more exceeding, He called you by our gospel. It's like another level just got in there. See? And far more exceeding, He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is exceeding abundant. We're moving from all men saved to a full, complete, exact knowledge of the truth. This is what this is. This is the high calling. And you'll notice here, it happens one way. Called by Paul's gospel. That's it. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's it. Brothers and sisters, it's not going to happen any other way. It has to be known. In his gospel, it says that Christ would judge the secrets of men. And through Paul's gospel, it's the obtaining of glory of the Lord in our lives as we read. There is no other way. And again, we go back to Revelation 21, 10 and 11, the bride coming down from heaven, having the glory of God. She has this glory that we're reading about here to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through that wonderful, wonderful mystery that was revealed to Brother Paul, that the Gentiles now can be joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. I'm just so thankful to Him. We know this. Absolutely. But doesn't it thrill you that it is woven and woven and woven from Genesis 1 to Revelation at the very end, all the way through? It's there. Absolutely. Calling out to us from the very beginning. From the very, very beginning. I tell you, that is a lover of lovers. So, you got that? Praise the Lord. That's what he's saying to the Thessalonians. We're going to the 15th verse. Therefore, brethren, since you have this, since this is your calling, since God has shown you such grace and mercy, since you are called, since you are chosen, since you are being called my beloved. Them are bridal words, man. I mean, that's exactly what it is. We're bound. You're my beloved. I can't tell you how many weddings now the Lord's had me do. Them words are there. You know what? Isn't, well, maybe, and if you feel like it. Oh, no. We're entering in. This is what God is doing. We're entering in. It's the oneness. It's that love that just increases at that increasing rate. But he says here, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And this is vital and pertinent in our life right now. Monumental verse, and I want to break this down by the grace of God. First, it is stand fast. Stand fast. That word is stand firm. Be not moved. I want you to read of that word. It's found in Philippians 1:27. Let's go over there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. We'll read about this stand fast. Oh, let's go back to the 26th verse. If I keep doing this, we'll go back to verse 1, but I'll stop it right there. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's what this is speaking of. This is exactly what's meant in this. That oneness, that unity of spirit. Praise God. And it is a oneness. There's not all these multiple things. We are different people, absolutely. But we're one in Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We move in oneness because we're moving in the Word of God. And she moves with Him. She's in absolute harmony, an absolute step. She wants to be that way with her wonderful husband-to-be. Bridegroom, bridegroom. That's what's being called out here. Then next in that verse, as we go back to Thessalonians there, you'll see, and hold. And that same word, hold, you'll find, yes, over there in Revelation 3:11. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That is that calling that we are holding it so dear. It is the wedding engagement ring, that crown that He has given. And in that holding and in that stand fast, as we read there, the treasure is what? The treasure is the traditions. The traditions, that's the treasure. And this isn't talking about traditions of customs or heritages or culture, but it's precepts, brothers and sisters, precepts. And what that is written word and passed by word of mouth. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And it's specifically the Word of God emphasizing the gospel given to Paul for the church age. Do you see it? Do you hear the calling? Can you see Christ speaking to you this evening? Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Stand fast in these traditions. It's just but a moment. Huh? Those little sufferings and all that, that trial, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you, in you, in you, in you, in me. I believe it. I absolutely believe it. Confident in Him, in His promises. That, Lord, Your Word is true. It's impossible for God to lie. He's coming, and His reward is with Him. Because the reward is Him. It is. Praise be to God. But this is the high calling doctrine. And I think how many times in these short two little letters, and we're not even through the second one, has He over and over emphasized this reward, this prize, my coming, me, me. It is. It's Jesus, our reward. Hallelujah. All right, let's finish up 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, isn't that wonderful? Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation, and good hope, through grace, comfort your hearts, through grace, and establish you in every good word, through grace, and work, through grace. It's all by grace. And notice here it is, Jesus Himself. I appreciate when people talk about angels. At least they're thinking maybe something heavenly. I don't know. But He's not sending no angels. He's not sending anybody. He's coming. It's Him. Himself. I love that. How personal this Savior is. Jesus Christ always with me. And so is His Father, because they're inseparable. The two in our lives. And I don't know if you catch the Holy Spirit here too. You see Him which loved us. See, that's the love of God shed abroad in our heart. That Trinity always there. Always there. Always there working, working, working. Everything pointing to Christ, His blood, His love, His grace, His mercy. And through this love, what does He give us? Not just consolation, but everlasting consolation. See, this is a reward that's never going to end. This is not just a hope of the reward. This consolation here, it means absolute certainty. There's no doubt about this. This is the reward that's coming. It's the absolute certainty of the reward that Christ Jesus is going to have with Him. And at His appearing, especially to His bridal company, the soon coming reward. And what is that reward? It's the exceeding riches of His grace. He couldn't even describe that because there's no words to describe that. It's forever. It never ends. The exceeding riches. You go into the Greek and that word exceeding, it's funny. If you really were going to lay it out, you couldn't even first of all describe it even in English. And how many words? It's exceeding abundant. It's over the top. It's exceeding, exceeding, exceeding. And that's really what this word means. You could never even remotely get to it. Riches of His grace. Now, even if you could get to exceeding in riches, somewhat understanding there. His grace? Forget it. Forget it. I try to simply comprehend, Lord, You died for me. I don't get it. I mean, I really would. I'd appreciate one of you giving your life for me. Wouldn't really understand that. But we're talking about very God of very God. We're talking about one who took all of our sin, became sin for us who knew no sin. His Father, whom He loved so. I loved my dad. I love my dad. Thankful for the daddy my good Lord gave me. But it could never compare to how Christ loved His dad and how the Father loves His Son. And I just can't fathom it. I couldn't fathom it. I couldn't fathom giving my Son for you. I give you my life, but my Son's life. How could I? But this was God and His Son. The forever oneness of that Godhead. And to think that He said, Father, it is time, isn't it? Time I go and I'm going to be offered up. We're going to have a family. But even at that moment, when He had to turn away, Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? Exceeding forever riches of His grace. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. It's coming home, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We're about to go home. That's why it's coming home. Thank You, Lord. But in closing, this is the good hope, always through His grace. It's our only comfort, the wondrous love of Jesus, grace, the only thing that will ever establish us. It's not knowledge. It's not good deeds to man. It's not our attendance in a church. We'll stand like pillars and we'll become established like the tree planted by the water. As we grow in the knowledge of His love for us, His love for you. And that's grace. That's grace. Let's stand and be dismissed.